There certainly is no more sure foundation than standing on the promises that God has made unto us through Jesus Christ, his Son. And we could ask for nothing better than what he has done for us and the word that he has revealed to us. It's good to see each and every one of you out. We're glad that you are here. We have visitors, as usual. We want you to know once again that you're a welcome guest here at the Knollwood congregation. We hope that you have other opportunities to come back and to be with us as we worship God together. Tonight, for the time that we have together, I'd like to spend a few moments talking about spiritual ailments. Now, I don't know if this has come about because I've been sick lately, physically undergoing some things, sicknesses and trying to get over that and taking medicine or what it is. But I thought about this and the illnesses as we have physically and strive to make a spiritual application to those this evening. We can turn to the New Testament. We find there that Christ performed many miracles on those people who were sick. It may have been that they were lame or they were blind. Some were possessed of demons, that he was able to cast those demons out. He had power over them. That he got all kind of sicknesses, that anybody that came to him, he was able to cure them. And even able to raise those from the dead. And he did. He had power to heal any disease that was known to mankind. There was nothing too great for him, not even death. You know, it's easy for us to recognize when somebody is physically sick. We know that ourselves. When we use the expression from time to time, we just don't feel good. And we know there's something that is wrong in our body, maybe one particular part. It may be that we're running a fever, or we have a headache, or a stomach ache, or a sore throat, or one thing than the other. And it's easy for us to recognize when signs manifest themselves in our body that something is wrong. It's easy for us to know that. Yet it is not always easy for us to tell when, even ourselves sometime, are suffering from a spiritual ailment. We might be able to quickly detect it in someone else, we think, but sometimes it's hard to see it in ourselves. But people do suffer from spiritual sicknesses just as much as they, and perhaps even more so, than they do from physical sicknesses. Now, with a physical sickness or malady that we might have, most of us are very, very eager to get rid of that thing, whatever it might be. And so if it's a headache, maybe that's simple as a headache, we want to take something to get rid of that. So we'll go to the medicine cabinet, and we'll find an aspirin or whatever it is, and we'll take it. And sure enough, generally speaking, the headache is gone. Or it may be something a little bit more serious than that, and we want to get rid of whatever it is, and so we'll go to the doctor, and we'll have the doctor give us a shot, or we'll have them give us some kind of medicine, because we don't want to feel like this anymore. We want to get back to a state of health. We want to get rid of this sickness. That's the way it is with most of us. Most of us don't like to be sick. But when it comes to spiritual sicknesses, this is not always the way that it happens. People are not so eager to get rid of that. They become very comfortable in their spiritual sickness. Some of them don't recognize it, and even if they did, they oftentimes would do nothing about it. But Jesus Christ had, and he still has, the power to heal physical sicknesses. He demonstrated that as he was on the face of the earth. And he is the only one who is able also to take care of our spiritual maladies. There is a problem, though, and as we've said, some people simply don't want to apply the cure that he offers unto us. This evening, I'd like for us to kind of just make a comparison, if we would, between some physical sicknesses that we can recognize and what we simply might call their spiritual counterpart. One of the most effective and most powerful ways that Jesus had of teaching others, of teaching spiritual truths to the people in that particular day and even to us today, was by drawing a physical comparison or parallel between the spiritual truth that he was trying to teach them and something physically that they understood. And as they understood that physically, they could make that application in a spiritual sense. And that's what we want to try to do this evening. Let's talk about some physical sicknesses, or in the case of the first one, we want to talk about a sickness that we think that we have, and make application in a spiritual way. There are those spiritual ailments that a lot of people suffer from. Now, first we want to talk about is that of hypochondria. I think everybody knows what that is. In a physical way, what it is kind of a morbid anxiety over an individual's own health. That with every little pain that comes along, every little hurt that they have, they can imagine some just life-threatening disease that they've got to run to the doctor for and get some kind of medicine to take care of that. And the smallest hurt, really, in their mind turns into something that is life-threatening. That's the idea of hypochondria. It's not a real sickness in that sense that they feel bad, but in their mind they think they feel bad. And every hurt and every pain is just magnified time and time again. Well, I think we can make a spiritual application to that also. Because there are a lot spiritually, there are those who imagine that there is something that is wrong all the time. And it might not necessarily be something that is wrong with them, but in the church that they're a part of, that they think that something is wrong, something is happening all the time. That, and it almost as if they're not very happy if things are running smoothly. And if things are running too smoothly, then they're going to go and they're going to hunt and they're going to find, until they look, till they finally find that thing that they believe is a problem. And then they'll begin to dwell on that. And then they'll make it, as we say, that little molehill into a mountain. And they exaggerate these things that are happening. Sometimes this hypochondria manifests itself in some individuals into thinking that they have been mistreated by everybody in the congregation. That whenever anything is being said, they're being talked about. People are talking about them behind their backs. And everything begins to amplify, and everything begins to get bigger and bigger. We also find those that are in the body of Christ who at the first sign of what might appear to be a problem, again, begin to jump to all kind of conclusions. And these conclusions are not good. They run this particular problem that they think is there out to the final scenario, and they have all kind of things going wrong with the body of Christ. The church that they're a part of, or perhaps it is in the life of someone else, or in their own life. And again, it doesn't seem that they're happy if things are running smoothly. And they jump to all kind of conclusions. Some also imagine, in this particular sense, if we can use this parallel, that they can do absolutely nothing for the cause of Christ. We know people who are just like that. We know members of the church who believe that they are not capable really of doing anything for the church. They have no talents. They have no abilities. Again, in talking to them, that's the way that they would think of themselves. And they offer all kind of excuses of getting out of any responsibilities that they might have in the body of Christ. Again, they imagine that there's absolutely nothing that they can do. And if they were to try something, then it would be sure to fail as a result of them being a part of it. We find these kind of individuals just like that. They're defeated before they ever get started. You know, they remind us sometimes of the report that was brought back by the spies, those 10. Joshua and Caleb brought back the report. Well, you know, God's on our side. We can take the land. But here were these other 10 from the other tribes, and they said, "We are grasshoppers in the sight of these people. They will be able to crush us. We will never be able to defeat them." A lot of people are like that. Or like the one talent man that is found in Matthew chapter 25, where he went out and buried his talent. Again, not wanting the responsibility of that. There are those, again, in the body of Christ that we find who are very much like this. They're kind of hypochondriacs. That is, everything is wrong, everything is going wrong, nothing is going to run smoothly. There's a second thing that we want to draw a parallel with, and of course, as we mentioned this in the very beginning, we can see the parallel, and that is, in physically, there's a lot of people in our society today who have heart problems. There's a variety of those things that are around. It might be high blood pressure. It might be that some artery in their body is blocked and the blood is not able to flow as it ought to. It might be because of years of eating certain types of things that this has happened to them, and now they've got to begin to take care of themselves. A weakness of a heart muscle. Something is wrong with their heart. A lot of people in our society today suffer from that physically. We again know of a lot of individuals that have suffered from those kind of things. Spiritually, we immediately see the application, don't we? We're talking about a person with a bad heart, or as we simply might say it, a person with a bad attitude toward spiritual things. Instead of letting God's Word shape their life as it should, that's the reason God gave us His Word, that's the reason Christ came to die and with the Holy Spirit was able to give us the Word. That Word directs us. That Word shapes our life. But we have individuals who, instead of allowing that to take place in their life, will take the Word of God and want to shape it, want to make it say something that it does not say. And they have, again, a bad attitude or a bad heart toward that which God has revealed unto us. Because of this evil heart, we recognize this bad heart or bad attitude, they produce evil fruit in their life. Christ, talking in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19, speaks concerning that. As he is talking about what is within the heart of the individual and that which comes out, he says, "For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man," Christ goes on to say, "but to eat with unwashed hand does not defile a man." He's talking about the heart of the individual here. And spiritually, this individual that he is speaking of here has a bad heart. And so what proceeds out of that evil heart is evil fruit. It produces those things in that person's life. This is an individual, again, that has heart trouble in a spiritual sense. They have a hardening of the heart. You know, Pharaoh had that. We go back to the Old Testament. We find that when God told Pharaoh through Moses to let his people go, and that God sent the plagues upon the nation of Egypt, we find that instead of softening Pharaoh's heart, instead of allowing them to go, it hardened Pharaoh's heart. He became that much more determined not to allow the children of Israel to go, not to do what God said. Again, he had heart problems, a bad attitude. God's Word has been given to us so that it might prick our hearts, to prick the heart of spiritual man. And this is what happened in Acts the 2nd chapter, verse 37. After Peter spoke those things that he did on the day of Pentecost, these individuals were pricked in their heart. That's what the Word of God is supposed to do. It is supposed to have entrance into our heart. Our heart is not supposed to be so hardened against the truth that it just simply will not receive what God says. But spiritually, there are those with heart problems, and they just simply will not listen to the things that God has to say. Along those same lines about hardening, there's a physical disease that is known as elephantiasis. Now, this is not talking about someone who has a very big nose. You know, we won't talk about big noses. Elephantiasis is simply a condition where the skin becomes very thick and becomes very hard, like that of an elephant's skin or hide. And, you know, it's a callus, we might say. And we get those on our hands. We sometimes get them on our elbows or on the bottom of our feet, especially children who are running around during the summertime. They get their feet very hard if they go around barefooted. The skin becomes very, very tough. Spiritually, of course, then we can see an application also. There are those who have skins like this, again, spiritually speaking. And it becomes almost impossible to reach individuals with the Word of God. There are those who are Christians as well as non-Christians who fit this particular category, who suffer from this spiritual disease. You know of Christians who have done those things that are wrong, and yet in spite of everything that you have said to them, in every way that you know possible to speak to them, to cause them to turn from the wrong that they're doing, they're just not going to listen to you anymore. They're not going to listen to a thing that you have to say. And there are non-Christians, again, who are like that. Regardless of how you plead with them to change their life, regardless of how you take the Word of God and speak it to them in love and in kindness, there's absolutely nothing they're going to do. It's not going to change their life. Their heart has become hardened. Their skin has become that way. Nothing that you have to say will cause them to consider their spiritual welfare. You know, Paul talked about individuals in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 2. He says that in the latter times these things will happen. And he says that some will have consciences as seared as with hot irons. That's what we're talking about here. People not listening to the Word of God. There's an expression that we use from time to time, and that is, you know, something is like water off of a duck's back. You know, that's a very good expressive figure of speech. You know, we've seen ducks and how they swim around in the water and how that, you know, you can take water, you can put on them, and it just runs right off of them. It doesn't penetrate, doesn't soak in at all, and it's almost as if the water had not been there at all. And that's the way it is with a lot of people spiritually in the Word of God. Regardless of what you say, regardless of how you implore them, they will do absolutely nothing at all. The Word of God is just something that will not get through to them as it ought to. We are to be a people that is compassionate. We are to be individuals that are tender-hearted. Paul, in giving his instructions there in Romans 12 and verse 15 to the saints at Rome, he says there, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. He's talking about someone that is compassionate. He's talking about someone that has a tender heart. Someone that will receive the things that we have to say, will suffer with us, will rejoice with us. That same apostle says in Colossians 3 and verse 12, put on a heart of compassion and kindness. And Peter, by inspiration, in 1 Peter 3 and verse 8, talks about us as we are to be compassionate, loving as brethren, tender-hearted. We're not to have skin thick. We're not to have these heart problems where we are so insensitive to things that the Word of God would say to us. But again, spiritually, there are those who are like that. And you cannot reach them, not even with the powerful Word of God. They reject it and they turn away. There's also a physical disease that is known as myopia, and that is nearsightedness. That's what I have. I'm nearsighted. And if I were to take off my glasses, all of you would become nothing but a blur. I can see colors and things like that, but I just simply can't see at a distance. Now you bring something up close, and I can see it quite well. I can see it easily that way without my glasses. And the way this particular ailment or disease or whatever it might be is corrected is with glasses. And so when I put on my glasses, I'm able to see clearly at a distance. Spiritually, again, there are those who are like this. People who just can't see far-reaching circumstances of the actions that they have, of perhaps the sins that they commit. And people are just simply saying, well, I'll engage in this sin right now and it's not going to hurt me down the road. It's not going to have consequences down the road for me. And they can't see that distance that is in front of them. There are parents who will miss the assembly on occasions when they had opportunity to be with those who are worshiping God. And they can't see anything wrong with that. See how that's going to affect them and their children later on. They just can't see those kind of circumstances in their life. And missing maybe once or twice to go here or go there to do something other than worship God, they just can't see the consequences of that. They can't see the consequences of placing more importance on worldly matters than on spiritual matters. Maybe just this one time we'll do this. But again, it affects us. It affects all of us. And they can't see how their conduct before others might affect others either. Well, I know this particular garment that I want to wear, this apparel may not be the most modest, But I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do it this time. And I don't plan to do it anymore. And they don't understand that that can have far-reaching circumstances. They're nearsighted. All they want to see is that which is close to them and that which they want to do without seeing the circumstance or without seeing the consequences. They don't have also their sights set on heaven. You know, this is the ultimate goal for each and every one of us as children of God, to be able to go to heaven when this life is over. That's what we're living for. That's what we are making the sacrifices in life for, so that we can enter into heaven when this life is over. When we stand before God on the day of judgment, we can hear pronounced from Him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But in order to reach that goal, we've got to keep our sights on it. We've got to keep our mind on that. Not lose sight any at all of our ultimate goal. But those who spiritually have this nearsightedness are not able to see that. They're all wrapped up in this world in which they live. They're living, and they've been influenced by the philosophies of living for the here and now, enjoying this time right now that they have, without thinking of the consequences. They need spiritual glasses, because again, this life is going to pass. We're all going to pass from this life. We can't live physically forever. There are those who are nearsighted. There are those spiritually also, or physically, who are the opposite of that. That is, they are farsighted. They can see objects at a distance very easily, but they can't see anything close up. You know, my father, as he got older, he was one who led singing at church. And as he got older, his arms got shorter. And he just couldn't get the book out there far enough. He could see good at a distance. And later in his life, he said he could really, if he was just able to lay the book on the floor, he could lead singing quite well because he could see at a distance. Well, there's a lot of people that are like that. They're able to see at a distance, but not close up. And this, again, is corrected by glasses, just as the nearsightedness is. Spiritually, there are those who are farsighted. That is, they can see for themselves the big things that can be done in the work of the Lord, those things that are at a distance, those things that are planned years ahead, they can see those kind of things, and they become important to them. They can see taking the gospel to the world and setting up all kind of things in order to do that, but they simply can't see taking the gospel to their neighbor, that person that lives next door. They have a hard time seeing and understanding that. All the big things and the big, as we know, the big crusades that they have, they want to be a part of that. They want to convert the world, but they can't talk to their neighbor. They want to spread the gospel to the farthest reaches of the world, but they can't do it in their own community. There are some who have farsightedness also when it comes to their own lives. That is, they see the problems of others, but they can't see their own problems. Christ described this in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 3, 4, and 5, where he gives the illustration there, the individual with a beam in his eye and the other individual with a mote. And that person had a big thing in his own eye while he was ready to help the other person get this little speck out of his eye. But he couldn't see what was in his own eye. He couldn't see those ailments, those defects that were in his own life. Willing to give advice unto others, but unwilling to work on those things that were wrong in his own life. That, again, is a kind of spiritual farsightedness. Able to see at a distance, but not close up. There's also a physical ailment. Somebody described that to me tonight. Said they had chills. You know, we know what chills are. It's a sensation of being cold. It's a sensation of, you know, shivering. Of something happening to us, and we're just chilled. We're shivering because of it. You know, when it's like when you eat something that is very, very cold. My children can't stand to see me eat ice cream because I eat, you know, or something because I eat it with my teeth. It's very cold, and it just sends chills over them. Or when a cold wind blows, and it feels like it's going right through you, you have chills. Spiritually, these kinds of things are brought on because of sin that we commit. Sin is like a bucket of cold water in the life of someone who is a child of God. Have you ever had a bucket of cold water thrown on you, or even just a little glass of cold water thrown on you? What happens to you? Well, you immediately freeze, you know, again, because of cold. You become inactive. You don't move as a result of that. At least that's what happens to me. That coldness just stops me in my tracks. Spiritually, that's what sin does to us. It's like a bucket of cold water on us. It causes us to become inactive. We begin to think about the sin that we have committed, and we begin to become dejected because of it. And we're no longer like that lion that is talked about in the book of Proverbs. You know, the righteous are like a lion. We don't become righteous, or we don't become like that lion anymore because of sin. We become inactive and we do nothing. Christ described in Matthew chapter 24 concerning the things that were to come, and he made this statement: because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Again, that's what sin does to us. It gives us spiritually those chills, causes us to become inactive. There's another sickness physically that we want to talk about. And I hope I can pronounce this right. I got the technical term, and I'm sure I'm going to mess it up, but it's encephalitis lethargicus. Again, if I mess that up, you can correct me later. Simply known as sleeping sickness. When I was growing up, I had a cousin that had this. It's usually brought on by the bite of a mosquito. But he, you know, it was a sleeping sickness. That's all he wanted to do. As a result of that, he had a lot of ailments. It was hard for him to hear and to speak after that because of the sickness that he had. Wanted to sleep all the time. Well, again, we can easily see a spiritual application here. That inactivity, this sleeping, is brought on because of sin. And it causes many people to fall asleep. And as they fall asleep spiritually, they become very comfortable. They become very comfortable in their inactivities. And almost like if we could speak concerning the church at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. They thought there was nothing that was wrong. We find warnings from the Apostle Paul. Ephesians 5 and verse 14, "Awake, you who sleep." 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 6, "So let us not sleep as do the rest, but let us watch and be sober." We need to be watchful and sober. Spiritually, we cannot fall asleep. You know, there's a great penalty for that soldier who falls asleep while on guard duty. This is something that is not just not acceptable. And we are soldiers in the cause of Christ. And we must be watchful. Because if we are not watchful, we're going to fall into many dangers. There is physically also atrophy. That is the wasting away of the parts of the body. A lack of growth for want of nourishment. You know, this could happen to any part of the body. That it just may begin to wither up. That we ourselves, physically, as the whole body, begins to waste away because of a lack of nourishment. Well, easily, again, we can see the spiritual application. There are those spiritually who are simply wasting away. Spiritually, they are becoming nothing. Because of a lack of nourishment. They fail to get the proper spiritual food. And the simple solution to that is the Word of God. And yet they don't study it. They don't take it. They don't make it a part of their life. They don't let it direct them. Spiritually, a person can waste away to almost nothing at all. The change is so gradual that perhaps it's not even noticed at first. Physically, that's what happens. Physically, the body begins to waste away, but it's only a little bit at a time until finally it's almost too late. As Christians, we need to grow and we need to develop. We need to take the Word of God and that spiritual nourishment, that food that is given unto us, and so that we can grow. This won't happen to us. This wasting away won't happen to us if we listen to the Word of God. Finally, there's one thing I want to talk about, and that is a physical phobia that some people have. and that is hydrophobia. I think all of us know what that is. That's an abnormal fear of water. Some people may have that. They're just so terribly afraid of the water, they don't want to get near it. They don't want to have anything to do with, you know, a big body of water. Of course, we see the spiritual application almost immediately. And that is, there are a lot of people who are afraid of the water, spiritually speaking. They're afraid of being baptized. That is, they don't believe that they need to be. In relationship to John's baptism, the Pharisees had it in Luke 7 and verse 30. We can read that they refused to be baptized with John's baptism. You know, it was something that Jesus Christ did not suffer from. He was not afraid of it. He even himself, even without sin, submitted to the righteousness of God. Those who have it can enjoy the remission of their sins. They can enjoy entrance into the body of Jesus Christ where all spiritual blessings are. And you and I know people who are just like this, don't we? That regardless of what you say, regardless of the verses that you take out of the Bible and you tell them and you teach them over and over and over again, some reason they've got a fear of water. They're just not going to go near it. They don't believe that they have to in order to be saved. There are perhaps many other things that we could go over, many other physical ailments that we could make parallels to. But in the case of our spiritual ailments, those things that afflict us, there is only one cure. You know, for physical ailments, there may be many cures. But spiritually, there is only one, and that is Jesus Christ. That is the Word of God. All of these ailments, whatever it might be, God can cure. He can make us whole through the Word that He has given unto us. In going over these things here this evening, did you recognize yourself maybe in some of these things? Do you want to be healed of any spiritual illness that you might have? Well, if you do, then you must render obedience unto Jesus Christ. The song that is selected for an invitation is The Great Physician. And truly, He is the Great Physician. He is the only one that can heal you, cure you of any disease that you have spiritually. He can take sin, and with His blood that He shed, He can wash it away, but only in your obedience to His will. And if you're here and have faith, repented of your sins, and you want to confess that faith in Jesus Christ, then be baptized for the remission of your sins. Don't be afraid of the water. It is the water that we must apply to our life, where that comes in contact with the death and burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Come in contact with His blood that cleanses us in these things that we do. Won't you render obedience unto God? Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?